Hi everyone, this is our EDCI 339 online learning presentation. Our topic is on the impact of COVID-19 on online and distributed learning. My inquiry question is, how did online learning evolve during and after the COVID-19 pandemic? And what are some of the lasting impacts it has had on teaching and learning? We chose this topic because the COVID-19 pandemic almost changed the way education was delivered overnight. Having to adapt to that rapid change as a student, I found quite challenging. Before the pandemic, online learning was already available in many schools and universities, but was mostly used as an alternative or supplement to traditional classroom learning. When the COVID-19 lockdown began in 2020, educational institutions were forced to quickly transition to online learning. Teachers and students had to adapt to new technologies, virtual classrooms, and different ways of communicating and engaging with course content. Platforms such as Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and learning management systems became essential tools for education. This rapid shift created both opportunities and challenges. An idea from Dr. Irvine's lecture that connects to our topic is that learning can take many forms, including online, face-to-face, hybrid, and multi-access learning. The pandemic accelerated the use of these different approaches and changed how institutions think about delivering education. Online learning also encouraged new ways for students to demonstrate their learning through videos, presentations, and digital portfolios, rather than relying just on traditional exams. As someone who doesn't test very well because of the stress and anxiety I have around it, this is especially beneficial for me and others who are also like me. As we'll discuss throughout our presentation, many of the tools and practices that become common during COVID-19 are still being used and continue to influence teaching and learning in both online and face-to-face environments.
When we think about the relationship between online learning and teaching versus classroom learning and teaching, one major shift was the COVID-19 pandemic. Online learning has always been seen as an alternative to classroom learning, but at a distance for K-12 students, post-secondary students, and any level beyond that. This, however, became the new norm in 2020 for students in order for them to continue their education. This shift affected both teaching and learning practices and experiences. Educators had to learn new ways of teaching, which included learning how to use new platforms, technology, while also finding unique ways to get their students engaged while being remote. When doing research on this question, I wanted to see if anybody had looked into that shift more. I found research by Coe and Daniel in 2022, where they conducted a systemic review and found that when coursework moved online, there were 5 main learning strategies used to keep learning continuous. In this article, the categories were broken down into learning access equity, classroom replication, student engagement strategies, online practical skills, training, online assessment integrity. The goal seemed to be keeping learning as quote-unquote normal as possible, while teachers take an understanding approach because this is a complete 180 to what everyone is used to, not just students. During Coe and Daniel's research, they observed in these 5 categories things like giving grace on deadlines, using polls or interactive group activities, using multi-model assessment for grading to ensure integrity, effective retention of content, and simply just to keep learning more enjoyable. With all this being said, while online learning created new opportunities for flexibility and accessibility, it also introduced challenges and risks, which we'll discuss next.
During COVID, the world was in chaos and unsure how to proceed normally, especially in the education sector. Throughout this unpredictable time, there were many pros, cons, and risks that people were left to face. One of the biggest benefits to online learning is that it allowed education to proceed when schools were forced to close due to restrictions. Without the adaptability, so many students would have experienced a huge interruption in their education. Apps like Zoom and Google Classroom allowed for teachers to give live lectures, assign work, and communicate with students despite not being in a traditional classroom. Online learning also became significantly more flexible than traditional classrooms. With lessons being able to be pre-recorded, students could now pause, skip forward, or replay information that they did not understand. Along with the lectures, a lecture flexibility, assignments were also to be completed on their own time. This made school and life obligations easier to navigate. Students now had more time to get their assignments done. And although online learning can be extremely beneficial, it does reduce the face-to-face interaction that traditional classrooms have. This makes people feel isolated or disconnected. It can also make Zoom sessions feel robotic for teachers and professors, especially when they're just staring at little black boxes. The isolation also limits people's interactions, which inherently messes with their social skills, and everyone's so used to being nonverbal.
Also, with classes being online, there is more of a chance for academic dishonesty, as students are able to use generative AI apps like ChatGPT and Google Things, where they're not usually able to in the classroom. And in our last lecture, Dr. Irwin talked a lot about this and how teachers have had to navigate teaching new systems and using apps to see if kids are using AI, which was never really an issue in traditional classrooms. So I think that that is a huge bump that a lot of professors have tried to navigate, and it becomes very difficult.
Some of the best strategies, best practices, and tips regarding online learning during COVID. During the pandemic, I was in high school, and our classes went from in-person to online. Three things that actually helped me get through the school year. The first was forming group chat with classmates, having a place to informally talk through the content with the people experiencing the same things gave us back some of what the classroom had taken away. It wasn't as productive as an in-person discussion, but having any kind of discussion forum helped us gain perspective on the material and on each other's approaches. The second was building a consistent routine. Asynchronous learning made it easy to let sleep schedules drift, which made it easy to fall behind schoolwork. Once I started keeping a consistent schedule with dedicated study time, I was actually able to keep up. I also started going on walks and picked up new hobbies like baking. And while taking care of my physical health and having hobbies that did not involve screens, small adjustments but made a real difference to my ability to focus. A research by Broppen and Poon found that students who employed self-regulation strategies significantly outperformed those who didn't, a finding that became especially relevant when external structure disappeared. The third strategy sits with institutions rather than students. One of the most effective shifts educators could take moving away from a fully asynchronous delivery towards some synchronous sessions, which helps preserve the participation and the sense of learning in community rather than isolation. A study by Koh and Danielle found that instructors who built in live interaction polls or group work kept students more connected to the material and each other. Another study by Hodges et al. Made a broader point that online quality learning requires intentional design and not just the content uploaded to a portal. The responsibility for easing the transition cannot fall entirely on the students, and it has to be built in how the courses are designed.